Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. As he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized him sharply. Now, I don't know of any, well, let me first say, how much is 300 denarii? Actually, last week we answered what a denarii was. A denarii was a day's wages for most people, especially the Roman soldiers. So 300 days wages is basically a year's salary. So if you put a figure on there, let's say $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 or more, a year's salary, I don't know any perfume that costs a year's salary, do you? I don't know any oil or perfume like that. I don't know anybody that would buy something that expensive. But apparently there were some because she had it. And it would tell us something about her own life as well. But anyway, as we look at this story, it brings up a question that I must ask you. What is a sacrifice? Now, if you broke, I didn't mean to break the bottle like we think of, we would say we break the seal, you know, or we open the cap, or we pull the cork, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, she opened the bottle, and she began to pour this on the head of Jesus. And, of course, there were some in the body, the disciples and others, who were involved in the work, and certain ones kept the money, and they thought, well, this is a year's wages, thousands of dollars. Why wasn't this used for the poor? That would be a good comment at certain times, wouldn't it? We ought to use our abilities to help the poor. But Jesus is not upset about this. And today we want to look at sacrifice and the meaning of sacrifice and what it involves. You know, what is a sacrifice to me might not be to you, and what is a sacrifice to you might not be to me. For instance, in many churches there are people that would like to go on a vacation, whether out in the sticks or the jungle or whatever you're going to call it. They pop out a pup tent, they get in that little tent with mosquitoes, and they think, now this is a great vacation. This is, well, to other people, that would be a great sacrifice, right? They would prefer to be at Holiday Inn. But for them, a sacrifice would be to be at Holiday Inn and have to watch black and white TV. You know, we have different views of what sacrifices are. So we want to look at the meaning of sacrifice today. There was a father, of course, like most, if not all, fathers. He was trying to train his children and the use of money, and he sat down, his daughter got a certain age, and he told her, I'm going to give you so much money a week or a month, whatever it was, and I'll do this as long as you keep complete records of how you use the money. So she agreed, and he gave her the money, and then when he looked at it a week or so forth later, it looked good. I mean, she had all this stuff detailed out, and he said, well, what is this T-L-O-K? And I see it all certain places all the way down here, T-L-O-K. And she kind of grinned and she said, well, sometimes I spent my money and I just, when I sit down to write it all down, I just, for the sake of me, couldn't remember what I spent it on and where. So I put it under T-L-O-K. And he said, well, what does T-L-O-K mean? She said, the Lord only knows. Well, the Lord does know what sacrifices are, doesn't he? He knows when we've truly sacrificed. He knows what's involved in those things. In Psalm 4 and verse 5, we read, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. The sacrifices of righteousness. It was expected in the old. It is expected in the new as well. Everyone who walks the life of Christianity must sacrifice certain things. We must not be drunkards, for instance, right? We must not be immoral. There are many things we may give up. We may give up drugs if we're of that kind of background. Vile language. You could just list a whole bunch of things, couldn't you? That Christians, if they were ever involved in that, must give up. They cannot walk that path anymore when they follow Christ. So there are many sacrifices that Christians must make. What I want to do today is look at several things as to the meaning of sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? And the first thing we want to look at, excuse me, a sacrifice must be freely given, or else it's not a sacrifice. And I'll illustrate that, but first let's read Psalm 54 and verse 6. I will freely sacrifice to you, David said. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. In many churches, and you've probably known examples like this, this kind of thing has happened. Maybe it's Sunday morning, the wife wants a husband at church, and she comes in there and she says, you get your lazy body out of that bed. If you don't, you're going to start washing your own dirty socks. Well, he thinks for a moment, and he decides it's better to be at church, right, than to wash his dirty socks and whatever else. Well, he goes to church. Is that a sacrifice? It is not. It was not freely given. He was coerced, right? I mean, it was good he was at church, but it was not a sacrifice. I mean, a sacrifice is somebody, a Christian that works all night, maybe, on Saturday night, barely gets any sleep and gets up and comes to church. That's a kind of a sacrifice, right? Or maybe one that works all night right up almost to church time. They rush home, pick up the kids. Maybe they have time for a quick shower. Maybe they don't, and they come to church. Those are people are sacrificing, aren't they? They want to serve the Lord. They want to worship the Lord. I want to tell you an illustration, too, before we get more of these verses, but there was a man named Dr. Odell Berger. He was attending Southeastern Bible College in Lakeland, Florida. Some of you may know about that school. But anyway, he worked in the local hospital there in the intensive care department. And one day they got this call, and they were put to extensive training on how to deal with someone, you know, that has a heart attack, whatever, to do CPR. Now, nowadays, even for the last 20, 30 years, a lot of times they use these masks that pressure it. But back then, when he was writing, they didn't do that. They did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They did the heart pump on the chest. And he was a little bit afraid of that. He was kind of squeamish. And he didn't really want to do it. The first time they were called in to do something like that, he kind of refused. The next time they got a call, and they rushed in there one by one, and some of them were doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and then one was pumping on the chest, and they'd keep switching. He wouldn't do it. And then the next time they told him, you either do this or you're not a part of the team. And the supervisor said, if you don't do this, you lose your job. So he said, I'll do it the next time. So a while later, they got a call. And the doctor showed up, and when he did, there was an elderly lady laying on the floor. She had no teeth. She had tobacco juice running out of the side of her mouth. And he wasn't going to take his turn. And the supervisor pointed, you either do this or you're out of here. So finally, he just kind of, it gave new meaning to, you know, the idea of it's a bad job, but somebody's got to do it. But anyway, he finally went ahead and did it. And these kind of things, that was not a sacrifice. It was compelled. He got to keep his job. That's what he got from it. It wasn't a sacrifice. Not in the real sense of the word. When the Lord talks about sacrifices, he means a true sacrifice. You know, and if that man is there on the day of judgment, the Lord's listing all the things that he did and sacrifices, and he leaves that one out, and the good doctor says, but Jesus, don't you remember when this lady had this tobacco juice running? And Jesus was saying, that wasn't a sacrifice. You didn't do it freely. Sacrifices are freely given. Secondly, a sacrifice must be completely given. A little bit we're going to read in Mark 12, 41 through 44. So you might want to be turning there. A partial sacrifice is not a sacrifice, is it? Think about these animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. Did they have to just suffer a little bit and then it was okay? No, they had to die. It was a total thing, wasn't it? It was completely given. And there are people that want to make compromises with the Lord. You know, they'll kind of do certain things, but they'll say to the Lord, I'll do this if you just kind of compromise with me on this over here that I'm doing. The Lord doesn't make compromises, does he? Not like that. So these let's make a deal Christians, they're in danger from the Lord. In Mark 12, 41 through 44, we have an example of a sacrifice that was completely given. Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how people put money into the treasury. Now, we're not told exactly how they did it, but it appears they had canister jars that they dropped money in or something like that. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came up, and she threw in a half a dollar. Well, two mites, that's probably about what it is in our money, a couple of quarters, which make for a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and says, surely I say unto you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given much to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance, but she is in her poverty has given all she had, all her livelihood. In other words, to live that week, that woman had what we would call a half dollar, two quarters. She put it all in. Maybe she thought, the Lord will take care of me or I'll die and go to heaven. Maybe she thought, the Lord will make sure somebody provides something for me and I won't starve to death. We don't know exactly what she thought. We're not given that. But whatever she thought, she put every penny she had in. Everything. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? That's a real sacrifice. And it was completely given. Now, why weren't their contributions considered a similar sacrifice? Well, because they had a lot. They may have given a fairly large amount, but they had plenty of money. It wasn't a real sacrifice to them, but it was a true sacrifice for her. And so the Lord was teaching the disciples something very important. Notice again verse 44. They gave out of their abundance, but she gave everything. Even though it was little, it was everything. Now, I don't know where you could buy much food for a half a dollar for a week, do you? You know, the King James, I think, put penny there, but that doesn't really fit it in our language. But it was still a very small amount. You know, in some of the foreign countries I've taught in, where Americans go to eat, well, it's just as high as it is here in America. Can you imagine that? It's just as high. In a number of cases, it's higher than here in America. But the local people, they may eat on $1.30. Similar restaurant, but geared to them, or even less. But 50 cents for a whole week? It's unbelievable. Again, notice what it says. She, out of her poverty, put in everything she had for her livelihood. In other words, this was a completely given sacrifice. There was a man who was visiting a store owner, and the owner was showing him his basement where he kept kind of a warehouse. And it was a large basement, and there was just shelf after shelf, thousands of pounds of sugar. And he turned and looked at him and said, "Boy, you must sell, you must be a great sugar salesman." He said, "Nope, I can't sell sugar at all, but the guy who sold them to me, he was a great sugar salesman." You know, we have different things, different abilities, different things, but notice also a sacrifice must be given at cost. Through the years, I've already mentioned how folks sometimes will work all night, things like that. These are real sacrifice to not go have sleep and go on to church and to do what they believe God wants them to do and to put, you know, enjoyment in their life. And yet they do these things. And I've also seen people, and you've seen them and heard of them, maybe they're just a moderate income or just slightly more. Let's take this guy. He's got a little bit extra, and he's been saving for a long time. He wants to buy a boat to go fishing in, fishing boat. And then a missionary comes in, and he tells about this church out in the jungle or wherever it is. But anyway, they have worship. Their building is a hut with a tin roof. And they need money to put a new roof on that hut. And he's thinking, "I've got some extra money, but I want to buy this boat." But he thinks about it for a while, and he gives that money for the boat to the church to send to this church in Africa or wherever it is. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? That's a willingness. That's a giving of himself and all he had in excess. And it must be costly, and it was for him. When we think about sacrifices, we must think about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Was Jesus' sacrifice freely given? Yes. John 10 and verse 15. It said to the Lord, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." It cost him, didn't it? It cost him his life. It wasn't just putting up with Pharisees who wanted to attack him or scribes who wanted to attack him and discredit him. No, he gave his life. Can you imagine having a thorn or crown stuck on your head and then some instrument being used to drive that into your skull? That's just a part of the sacrifice. Terrible part, right? Sacrifice is something with a cost, and it must be freely given. Jesus did that. We do not know how many Roman soldiers came to take him. He could have just thought it and compelled them on their knees so they could never move. But he didn't do it. He did speak and they fell down, but he let them get up, didn't he? And he let them take him. And then he let them beat him and drive nails into his hands and ankles. He did these things freely to save us. It was not the soldiers that killed him or the spikes. He did these things freely. A sacrifice must also be completely given. Did Jesus completely give his life? Yes. It wasn't just suffer for a little bit. It wasn't like Pilate, "Well, I'll make him really suffer for a little bit. I'll have him beaten to within an inch of his life. Then the Jews will have some compassion. He'll be okay." Didn't work out, did it? And Jesus' sacrifice didn't prove to be just partial. It was total. In Romans 5, 8 and 9, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's a real sacrifice, isn't it? Then it must be given at cost. And Matthew 20 and verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life up a ransom for many." Was it given at cost? Yes. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The word ransom means a redemption price. We might lightly illustrate it with, you need some money and you take something you have down to a pawn shop and they give you a certain amount of money, put it on a shelf, tag it, and you have so long to redeem it, right? Well, the redemption was not a little money like for something you might pawn. The redemption was his life. And who were the redeemed? Well, those that come to him. But it was for everyone. Everyone could take advantage of it. But they don't. Few there be that find it. If evil men break into your home and take your wife or one of your children and say, you had to supply me with $1 million and so-and-so's time, or they're dead. That's ransom, isn't it? That's an expensive thing. And the point is, we've all been ransomed out by Satan. Everyone on the face of the planet, he's gotten a hold of. And so we have the ability to be free from all of that, to share with Christ. He did all of this at tremendous cost. And that's what a sacrifice is. It involves cost. Now, as we wind down, we need to remember the Lord wants us to offer up our bodies a living sacrifice. I'm afraid some never do any sacrificing. But we had to be, if we're going to be acceptable to God, we had to give our lives a living sacrifice. Well, I don't like to hear about that. Well, I don't either, but that's what the Lord said. So we must teach it, right? And in reality, we must live it. It's not an easy thing. So a sacrifice has to be freely given. It has to be completely given. And it has to be given at cost. And the Lord did give himself as a great sacrifice. The last passage we want to read is Mark 14, 3 through 9. We read a few of those verses earlier. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came in carrying an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves, said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And many criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. He's the master, he's the ruler, right? He's the main Rabboni. Rabboni means a rabbi who has a group of disciples. So Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Think about that for a moment. We're still preaching it today, more than 2,000 years later, aren't we? What she did made such an impact. Now, the Lord didn't have many who were too concerned about his death. The Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, for the most part, they were happy when it happened, right? The disciples, they were running. But this woman knew it was coming. She had listened to him, apparently. You know, Jesus told them many times, but they just couldn't understand it. Why not? How could you not understand, I must go to Jerusalem and I must die at the hands of the elders, etc.? How could you not understand that? Well, part of it is Jesus told parable after parable after parable after parable after parable. And the disciples were sitting in class like you might be doing on Sunday morning. And he would tell these parables and then he would say, what does this mean, maybe? And they're squirming, trying to figure it out, you know. And he would say, I must go to Jerusalem and be killed. And they're squirming and they're trying to thinking, what does he mean? This has to be a parable. The Messiah is not going to be killed. He's going to save us all. They couldn't understand it. But this woman understood. She also apparently sat in those same classes. There were many women that traveled with him. She understood and she came to anoint his body for burial. We know that people like Mary Magdalene understood, didn't they? But the disciples didn't get it. So Jesus told this group of complainers, leave her alone. The Lord is making a sacrifice. She understands this. And he was pleased with her sacrifice. I mean, if you're an average person, you take a day's wages and pour it over the head of Jesus, that's a sacrifice, wouldn't you say? Take a year's wages and pour it out. Hard for some to understand. But we need to realize we all are disciples of Christ. We all are to make sacrifices. So we don't want to forget this is a part of what we are. It's part of the reason churches all over our land and all over our world, they have fellowships like we're having today. And they invite their friends and their neighbors and their relatives, and they try to encourage these outsiders to come into the body of Christ, that is, into our fellowship. That's a great thing, right? It's a great thing to do. And it shows us making efforts toward others and not just ourselves. But maybe we have someone today who's not a Christian. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Or, as he said, when he said through Ananias to Saulus, later to be known as Paul, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the same issue that Jesus gave in the Great Commission. We give you that same opportunity. As in a moment, we're going to sing an invitation. Or maybe there's some other reason you might need to come. If so, won't you come as we stand and sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, Lord. No turning back. No, not go with but still I follow. No, none go with me, but still I follow. No, none go with me, but still I follow. No turning back, Lord. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, Lord, I follow.
We'd like to thank Brother Cherry for that fine message that he brought. We're so grateful and so thankful for his teaching. Our closing song will be number 4 at this time. And then after this, one of the brothers will lead us in a closing prayer. Number 4.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. How salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Purpose of man, perfect delight, visions of refuge now burst on my sight. Angel descending, bring from above, heralds of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Purpose of mission, all it at rest, I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, yes, and this is my song, praising my Savior.